Right, welcome everybody. This is the full-length video on the Broadsides Empires of Steel matchup between Gurbon and Admiral Troubridge's force. So you will have seen some highlights of this in the main video, but this is going to go a bit more into depth in the game system and the whole way this played out, as well as explaining some of the rules. So here we have Admiral Troubridge's main force. As you can see, we've got Warrior, Duke of Edinburgh, Black Prince, and Defence, and they all have their stat cards. Over here, we have SMS Gurbon. We have some turning templates. We have Gurbon's stat card. We have a stat card for HMS Beagle, a destroyer. And we have these three ships. Now, these represent Dublin's forces. You can see Dublin, Beagle, and Bulldog. But as I mentioned in the main video, we're going to use them to represent three destroyers, because three destroyers, including Admiral Cunningham's destroyer, is what was available to Troubridge on the morning. And they're of the same class as Beagle and Bulldog. So we're just using Dublin essentially as a placeholder because I don't have a third destroyer. But we will use the destroyer models, as you can see, with their arcs of fire there to determine shooting. We have the rule book. We have a tape measure. We have a cube of D6. And we have a rather nice fresh bag of markers, which are going to be quite important later on. And over here we also have three sets of cards. Now on the right, the upgrade cards we won't be using because those are for more general play, but on the left here we have signals cards. So this is how to give ships specific orders in the game, and we have ship damage cards, which will reflect different status changes as ships get more and more damaged. Now, how this works is you have your ship's stat card. I'm just going to pan up a little bit. And yes, we are doing this in my conservatory because everywhere in the house is too loud. So, as you can see, we have a number of different statistics. We have the ship's current speed and its hull points in big red letters. And then going down the statistics, you can see we've got a rated speed. So that's its maximum speed in inches. So 6 in this case. Its acceleration is 1, so that means per turn it can change its speed by 1 inch, so you can't magically stop or magically go to full power. You've got a turn angle, which is 30, so if we pick up the turning template, you can see the turning template's got 15, 45, and 30, so this is the side of the template we'll be using for turns. The target size is L for large. Its protection is -1, so this is how they abstract the armor. The evasion is 6 up. The discipline is 6 up. So discipline is kind of morale, how well they can fulfill orders if they need to take what you might term a morale check in other games. Evasion is essentially, you know, can the ship avoid the shots? So on a 6 up, that's relatively unlikely, but all of these things can and will be changed by different functions in the game. And the protection, -1, that basically gives the shells that are coming in a greater chance to do damage. Then we have our gun batteries. So, as you can see, we've got primary, secondary, tertiary. So the primary is the 9.2 inch, the secondary is the 7.5 inch, and the tertiary is all those little small guns. Now, the range bands on the directed guns, so as you can see, that is our primary and secondary guns, those are multiples. So our closest range band will be 12 inches, then 24, then 36, and 10, 20, 30. And how close you are will affect how easy it is to hit. So if we're within 12 inches, it'll be much easier to hit. If we're 12 to 24, it'll be further. If it's further than that, it'll be harder to hit still. Our firepower, so the dice we need to roll to actually do damage, you can see is a 4 up for our main and secondary guns, and only 6 up for our tertiaries, because they're quite light, they're unlikely to do all that much, and of course that's predicated on things like the protection values and so forth. Forward, broadside, and aft shot dice, that's based on the number of guns that can be brought to bear. So obviously, say with the primaries, we've got a pair of twin 9.2 inch turrets, so obviously we can only shoot 2 guns forward or 2 guns aft, but we can shoot all 4 on the broadside if we need to. The light battery, that has a slightly different rule set. So whereas we need to roll to hit for the primaries and secondaries, we don't need to roll to hit for the tertiary batteries, but they have a much more limited range. Unlike the others where they have multiple range bands that are just expressed as a single figure, here we have just 6 inches and 10 inches, and beyond 10 inches we just can't hit with those small guns. There's also torpedoes. You can see they have a maximum range and a range band of 6, so they're much more likely to hit at 6 inches, less likely to hit at 12, can't hit beyond 12, and they have port starboard aft for the torpedo tubes. There's no forward tube. They have a yield, so that's how many dice we roll, and a firepower, so 2 up, obviously they're very powerful. Do damage on a 2, as opposed to the 9.2 inches. And you can see, if we were playing a balance game, this is a 70-point ship. So to give you some idea of the differences, here's Beagle's stat card. As you can see, we've got only one-third of the hull points. We're a little bit faster. We accelerate faster. We can turn at 45 degrees. We're a small target. Virtually no protection, but good evasion score. And we have our main battery really is torpedoes at this point. We can hit automatically with our light guns, with primary and secondary light guns, but, you know, with a firepower of 6, so i.e. we need to roll a 6 up to do damage. Not really going to do much, and there aren't that many of them. Most of the other ships, the other armoured cruisers, are medium targets. It's just defence is a somewhat larger ship. And then we have our opponent here, Moltke. As you can see, she can only turn 15. She is a little bit faster, rated speed 7, so she is a bit faster than the others, although in this game that is reduced because of her boiler stats. She can also accelerate better than the armoured cruiser, so she can change speed better. And as you can see, her primary battery is somewhat better. Its firepower scores damage on a 3-up instead of a 4-up, and there's quite a few of them. Although she has secondary and tertiary batteries that are just light, because of course she doesn't have that intermediate 7.5-inch battery like the armoured cruisers do. And she also has torpedoes. So compared to the stats on the cards, we're only making 2 small changes, which is Gerben is going to have a rated speed of 6. We're going to keep her acceleration, but of course she was designed for 25 knots. She definitely wasn't capable of that by this point. And again, as discussed in the main video, she's probably good for 20, 21 knots, maybe a little more in bursts. So a rated speed of 6 reflects that. Most of the other armoured cruisers are going to keep their rated speed of 6 because they were probably good for that at that point. And while the sources disagree as to whether Warrior or Duke of Edinburgh was the poor sailor, we've decided arbitrarily to nominate Warrior because it doesn't make much odds that which ship we choose. But Warrior is going to have a rated speed of 5, so if we, which is more reflective of travelling about 18 knots maximum. So if the 4 ships want to stick together, they're going to have to stick to a slightly slower speed than Gerben, but if Troubridge wants, he could potentially leave Warrior behind. Those are the only changes to the stats, otherwise to reflect the situation at the potential interception. Now it's time to set up the game board. So here's our game board set up now. We have Gerben pretty much in the middle of the field. She is heading southeast-ish, heading towards the, well, eventually the Ottoman Empire, but initially hoping to rendezvous back up with Breslau and then the Collier. Just to her starboard bow over here, we have the destroyer formation because they were sailing to meet up with Troubridge. They're slightly ahead of him, so they're coming in over there relative to Gerben. And then over on Gerben's port bow, we have the 4 armoured cruisers. And they're in a rough sailing formation, sort of line abreast, as Troubridge said, prepare to form a line of battle. And they're as far apart as we can get on this 6x4 board, as long as we're going at narrow edge to narrow edge in terms of length. Obviously it's long edge to long edge for either opposite side. And that's simply because if we put this scenario with, let's say, the British forces up there and Gerben over here, we'd run out of board width. So, and this is, you know, a decent enough representation of the range. So let's start off with our first set of movements. Now, if we were playing a points balanced game, then we would have to determine initiative, and the person who has initiative would get to activate a ship first, and then the other person would activate a ship, and back and forth and back and forth. However, in this game, obviously, the Germans only have the one ship, and also Troubridge knows he's going to have to be reacting to a certain degree to what Souchon does. Therefore, we're just going to assume that the Germans have the initiative, because to be perfectly honest, even if they didn't have the initiative, and we rolled for it, and they lost for whatever reason, I'd only get to activate one ship on the British side before I activate the German ship anyway. So, all things considered, we'll let the Germans do their thing first. Now, one of the first things to do is we have to issue orders, because at the start of each turn, you activate the orders that you've placed on your ships. And if they're in a fine condition, like they are now, no one's been hit, then everything activates fine. As damage accrues, etc., you start having to use essentially your morale checks, your leadership or discipline checks, in order to pass those orders on, rather than just doing generic things. So, let's place some orders. Now, again, in a normal game, you would place these orders face down secretly, so your opponent doesn't know what you're going to do first. But for the sake of this game, A, I'm playing both sides, quite literally, and B, it helps for you to understand what I may or may not do. So there's one order card which I'm not including, which is launch aircraft, because, well, there aren't any aircraft here. But as you can see, we've got multiple other orders. We've got damage control, obviously not needed because no one's damaged at the moment. Smoke screen to help with evasion. Evasive action, perhaps if there's torpedoes coming along. More speed, which obviously if you need to get away from someone. A torpedo run might be helpful later on in the game. Come about, so more turning. Ramming speed, which, you never know. And gunnery control, which obviously helps improve your shooting. So, for the purposes of this game, we're starting off with everybody at speed 3, about 18 knots, which is historically roughly what their cruising speed actually was. And so, if we imagine we are Admiral Souchon here, and he's looking across the sea and he's seeing a British formation arriving on the far side, the most likely thing he's going to do is he's going to try and come about. Because remember, the fear that the British had at the time was that Souchon would just circle around them and shoot them at long distance. And, well, it's not a bad tactic, so that's what Souchon is going to try and do. Whereas if we come over to here, remember the British ships have a weaker acceleration, and Trowbridge is very conscious of the fact that he thinks that Goeben is massively faster than him. He doesn't know that he actually isn't, so he's going to try and put on more speed. Meanwhile, over in the destroyers, they're going to start immediately laying a smokescreen, because the last thing they want to do is to be blown apart by the distant form of Goeben using long-distance gunfire. So if we take a quick look at the stat cards, you can see everybody is currently set to speed 3, because that is the speed that they've started out with. But, as we've said, you have the ability to accelerate. So Goeben, obviously, is going to want to go as fast as she possibly can. So she's going to accelerate from speed 2 to speed 5. And remember, she can only go up to a maximum of 6 because of her limited engines. So I'm going to take the come about order off her for a minute. And the come about order means that I can turn before I move. So normally you turn after you've moved. But in this case, I've made the come about order. So I put my turn template there, hold it down so I can turn 15 degrees because I'm a big ship. And I can already turn myself 15 degrees. I have my turn, my maximum speed at the moment is 5. So it's a bit difficult to do this one-handed. So I can move forward 5 inches. And then I can grab my 15 degree turn template and I can turn again. So effectively, that's given me the same maneuverability as the armored cruisers. Now, coming over to this side, of course, everyone's going to accelerate. So they're going to go up to a speed of 4. That's all of the armored cruisers. The destroyers can go straight to a speed of 5 because they have an acceleration of 2, but I have more speed on all of my armored cruisers. So although their rated speed is 4, so coming into next turn, if I don't change anything, they're going to be at 4. They can move 5 this turn because more speed gives me 1 inch extra of movement. So let's see, if I put camera down like so, then I can use both hands. Right, so defense here is going to move 5 inches. Everybody else is also moving 5 inches. Which is also, so with more speed, you can go 1 inch faster than your rated speed. So Warrior is moving at her maximum speed. She could theoretically move a bit faster. I think also, because Truebridge wants to close the range as much as possible, and if we check the relative bearings, although we are on an intercept course, kind of, do I try and close the range faster? No, I think I'm going to stay on my intercept course for the minute, so I'm not going to do any turns. But we also have our destroyers over there who can move 5. And they are going to lay a smoke screen. They're laying a smoke screen to make themselves harder to hit, so we have a smoke screen marker. And they are going to... continue to move ahead. I'm going to put the smokescreen marker there so we know that it's all there. They're going to move continuously ahead because, of course, they're cutting across Gerben. So now it's on to shooting. Everybody is at war with each other at this point. So who is going to shoot at who and how is that going to affect things? Well, let's find out. So Gerben, obviously, is going to try and open fire on her attackers. And first, she's going to try and target defense, because that's the flagship, it's the closest, and it's the lead vessel, so it all makes sense. Now, this is quite lucky for her, because defense is a size L. Remember, all the other ships are size M or S, which would make them harder to hit, especially at long range. So by default, we need to hit on a 7, which... So by default, we need to hit on a 7 on a roll of 2d6. However, we have range to account for. So her secondary batteries can go up to a maximum of 18 inches. But as we can see, that's well out of range. So basically anyone's secondaries are well out of range at this point. And with her primary batteries, so the ones that have multiple range bands, they have a range of 10 inches per range band. So going from center of target to center of target, which is how you do things in broadside Empires of Steel, we are 37 inches away. So that is in the fourth range bracket. Now, if we consult the range bracket on battery range table, which is helpfully provided on the back of the rulebook, we can see that for a battery range of 10 inches, between 30 and 40 inches corresponds to long range, which gives a ranging modifier of +2. So we're now up to needing a 9. And then finally, again, if we consult our handy little guide on the back of the rulebook, we can see that the directed gunnery modifiers table in the middle there means that we have a target speed of 4 or 5. So the target speed is actually 4, but we're moving 5, so it fulfills both of those criteria. So that gives us another +1. So at this very long range, we can only hit now on a 10, because we've gone 7 plus 2 plus 1, 10. And there's no evasive action tokens, which could have potentially complicated things even more. So we need to roll 10 on 2d6 to hit. So let's roll our 2d6. And we got a 9, 6 and a 3, so just not quite enough, so we missed. So at that point in the rules, we proceed to step 6, which is after we fired all of the ship-directed guns, if we hit the target, we add 3 aiming tokens to the ship, otherwise we add just 1. So we missed, so we're going to add an aiming token, a shell splash, and essentially what this is doing is, realistically, it's giving us a helpful correction on our range bracket. So Gerben's fired at defense. She's missed, albeit rolling a 9 when we needed a 10 only just, but that's giving additional data to her gunners to help her correct her fall of shot for the next salvo, which will be in the next turn. So if she chooses to fire at defense again, there'll be a favorable modifier for her in the next turn. Now, in exchange, defense is going to try and fire back with her guns. Now, with Gerben, we didn't check the broadside to see if we could fire all of our guns because it was fairly obvious. You've got those little red markers you might have seen earlier. So that was her broadside arc. So as you can see, she has the entire British cruiser formation in range. With defense, it's slightly less certain. So we will check that, yes, she can actually broadside Gerben. So she is going to try and hit, because why not? And her guns have a primary range band for directed fire of 12 on the 9.2s and 10 on the 7.5s. As it happens, because we are 37 inches away, we know that because we measured that already, that means that she's also in the long range bracket against Gerben, which is a target size L, so we have a 7 plus start off. Then we have plus 2 because it's in the long range bracket, and then we have to go, okay, how fast is Gerben moving? Well, she's moving at speed 5. So again, another plus one. So it's also a 10 to score a hit, but for both the primary and secondary battery. So we're going to roll for the 9.2 inch battery first, and we get an 11. So we do actually score a hit. And for the secondary batteries, we get a 10. So actually, by some miracle, defense has managed to hit with both sets of her directed guns. So now we get to move on to find out what happens with when those shots actually land. Now, first, we have the 9.2 inch battery, and since we are firing broadside, that means we get 4 dice. However, there is the evasion of Gerben, you know, representing minor course changes and things like that. Now, the evasion is 6 up. If Gerben was running away or charging down, so presenting a narrow target profile, we'd get a bonus to our evasion. And likewise, if the target is obscured, like the destroyers are, we'd get a bonus to our evasion. But since we're broadside on, we don't get any bonus. But what we do get to do is roll 1 dice for each shot dice, so 4 from the 9.2 inch battery, and any that match the evasion score or higher, then we get to remove that dice. So 6 up, basically. And we remove 1. So we're down to just 3 9.2 inch shells now. Then we have to see how much damage has been caused by these 3 hits. So first, we're going to roll the 3 dice that we have left, and we get 3 fives, which is quite good. Now, we have to compare the protection stat and on the target, on Gerben, with the firepower stat on the 9.2-inch guns. So what happens is we need to work out our firepower stat. So our firepower stat is 4 up. So far, so good. We're above that. But we need to add the protection factor of Gerben. And Gerben has a protection factor of 1, which makes it a 5. Now you might be thinking, oh, hang on, that's not great because, you know, isn't this a bit unrealistic? 3 9.2 inch shells hitting Gerben, that shouldn't inflict 3 points of damage on a hull that only has 8 right out the bat. Bay. Well, you'd be right, and that isn't actually what happens, because where the number that you've rolled on your dice matches the number required to do anything, you take a damage card. It's only if the number exceeds the number required that you actually inflict a point of damage. So although we've got very lucky with our dice, Gerben draws 3 damage cards, which we'll put there for the minute. She hasn't actually lost any hull points. So essentially, this represents 3 9.2 inch shells, by luck more than judgment probably, smashing down on the ship, but they haven't breached her armor. But they are potentially damaging other things, fire control systems, unarmored portions of the ship, etc. So first, we have a bridge hit, which means that Gerben in future will ignore the effects of any order cards that she's given. Clear the decks. I've got to repair that and any other clear the decks cards before rolling to repair any other damage cards. And hold below the waterline, which adds a flooding token to the ship. So we'll go over here. We'll find a little water droplet token indicating flooding. And we're going to add that to Gerben. And bear in mind, this does not represent a breach in the ship's armor. it represents a hole below the waterline, so perhaps the shell has hit at the bow, where there's very little armour, if any, but there's still some flooding. Now, of course, we do have to deal with that, because that potentially could cause damage going further down the line. But let's see what happens with our next salvo. So we've also got the five dice from the 7.5-inch guns. So, of course, Gerben, with its 6-up evasion, gets a chance to reject some of those. It doesn't. So we roll again, and we know now, because it's got the same 4-up firepower and protection of 1, that we need 5 or more. And this time we get 2 5s, so we're rolling pretty well. That's 2 more damage cards. So we've got another This Ship Ignores the Effects of Orders cards, bridge hit, and a main turret silenced, halve this ship's primary battery shot dice. So this isn't good for Gerben as of yet, but we don't know what's going to happen going forward with repairs and so forth. So we move on to Black Prince, and Black Prince has 4 9.2-inch guns, same as Defense, but in a slightly different configuration. So again, we've already worked out the calculations. We need a 10 to hit, because she's 2 inches further away, but that's still within the range band. So 10 to hit, nothing. So misses. Then we have Duke of Edinburgh, same armament, because Black Prince and Duke of Edinburgh are the same class. She's in a slightly further range band, so she needs an 11 to hit, nothing. And Warrior also needs an 11 to hit. Well, Warrior actually has 7.5-inch guns as well, so we can roll twice, but she needs an 11 to hit with either. She gets a 10, so if she was a bit closer, she would have hit, but she's not, and she gets a 4. So none of the other British ships hit. Defence has just had a really, really lucky day. So now, as you can see, there's lots of shell splashes around Gerben. We've got a cluster of 3 from Defense, because that's what Defense gets for hitting her, and we've got 1 from each of the other ships. Now, this could actually be bad for me going forwards, because although you do get a ranging modifier that's positive for an aiming marker that you've put down, when I say you, I mean a given ship, you get a negative modifier for every marker from other ships. So although Defense is now quite nicely locked in, the other ships are going to be facing a -5 modifier. And Defense, actually, because the other three ships all fired, is actually not getting any benefit. Because she gets +3 for her markers, but -3 for the other 3 markers. And so that brings us to the end of turn 1. The destroyers can't do anything. They're massively out of range. So now we just have to see, can Gerben deal with this damage? So we get to roll 2d6 against our discipline, which is a 7 up, to try and clear these things. So we've got to clear the decks. We have to get rid of this one first, but we've got a total of 5 attempts to make. So let's see, our first roll is 6 plus, that's 9, so we can get rid of our clear the decks, which is good. Then another roll, and now we can choose. We get another 9, so we're going to get rid of the flooding one, because that's not good, so we can get rid of flooding, so we're not going to take any damage. Good German efficient damage control crews. Another roll of 5, so one of these cards is staying. Our next roll is a 3, so another card is staying. And our final roll is another 9, so we're going to take off the main battery silent. So everything's back up to speed, except for the fact that we've got 2 bridge hits, so we can't issue any new orders next turn, which is a little bit annoying because we can't put gunnery control or more evasion on, but it's not the worst thing in the world. So advancing on to turn 2. So first thing we're going to do is Gerben is going to accelerate up to 6. Which is her maximum rated speed. Everybody else is going to accelerate up to 5. That's the British armoured cruisers. So I'm just adjusting those dice off camera. Because remember, Gerben can accelerate 2, then to a maximum of her limit of 6 at the moment. And everyone else can only accelerate one, except for the destroyers, who are going to move up to their maximum rated speed of 7. Now, with all of that said, it's time for movement. So Gerben can now move 6. So she can't take orders at the moment because she's still dealing with disruption. So she's just going to move at full speed. 6 inches. And she is going to turn again using the template, keeping her broadside, and also trying to do that circle strafing that we know she's trying to do, because her objective is essentially to get to the far side of the board, the kind of the British side, because at that point she's got past them. Now, of course, the engagement theoretically would continue, but for the purposes of this game, we're going to say that if she manages to substantially get past the British, then she has succeeded. Then we've got our destroyer formation. So I have to work my way along here. So they're going to move their 7 inches. Now they are properly crossing the T, and they are going to maintain their smokescreen order. Make them hard to hit, just in case. And Truebridge is going to not order more speed this turn. He's actually going to order gunnery control, because he desperately needs to score more hits. So we've got I'm going to have a gunnery control card, as you can see here. So they are all going to move 5. So we'll reduce our range down to 5. This is the maximum speed that Warrior is actually capable of. There's defense, and because they're now you see we have a bit more of a quandary, because Gerben has moved such that Warrior can now only shoot with her forward guns. Same story with Duke of Edinburgh. Same story with Black Prince. And defense just about can still broadside Gerben. But at the moment they are still at a fairly long range. So does Truebridge continue to try and close the distance, or does he accept the loss of firepower? Now, I think for the minute, or you know, he could turn away and try and engage in a long-distance broadside battery. I don't think that's going to end well for him. But for the minute, he's not actually losing a substantial amount, because defense, being the furthest ahead, can actually still engage with her full broadside with her 7.5s. The next two ships don't have 7.5s, and the secondary batteries are well out of range anyway. So really all we're losing is the 7.5-inch battery of Warrior. So I think he's going to try and maintain this distance for now. Let's say the destroyers have moved, and so we're over to gunnery. So Gerben's going to keep firing on defense. Now, we know that defense is a large model, so that's our 7-plus ranging baseline stat. Gerben is still at long range. It's 31 inches now, but still that's in the long range for her 10-inch range band batteries. So we're getting a plus 2 off of that, so that's 9, and plus 1 because defense is moving at 4-5 speed. So that's 10 to hit on a 2d6 again, except for the fact that Gerben has this aiming token over on defense because she shot at her before, so it's actually 9 on 2d6. Does Gerben get a hit? 7. No. Now, that's pretty much it for Gerben. Now we pass on to, let's see, the destroyers quickly, just checking. The destroyers have a maximum range of 12 inches on their light guns, which is well out of range, and their torpedoes as well. So yeah, the destroyers are still well out of range, can't do much. Now, the cruisers, we are at, as we said, 31 inches for defense, and we're going to check the range on the others. So Black Prince is 34, 35, and 38. So for each of those ships in the 12-inch band, so we are at 31 for our lead ship, which is going to be for 12 inches. That's a medium band now, so it's only plus one. So firing at large, 7 plus 1, and Gerben, however, is moving at target speed 6 now. So she gets there's a plus 2 modifier for speed instead of a plus 1. So we're still looking for 10 to hit. And that is going to apply to pretty much everything. Ah, no. So it's going to be a 10 to hit for the 9.2-inch batteries. But because the 7.5-inch batteries have a range band of 10, they are actually still in the long band. So because Gerben's moving faster now, the 7.5-inch batteries need an 11 to hit. And for defense, there's no change from the hit markers because she gets plus 3 for her hit tokens, but minus 3 for all the other ship's tokens because confusion of fire. So 10 to hit for the 9.2-inch battery on defense. She gets a 9, so that misses. 11 for the 7.5-inch battery. That misses. And then we have a 10 for Black Prince. No. Duke of Edinburgh. No. And Warrior. Also no. Which also means that we are now down, because everybody's missed, we're just down to one of each. So that's actually really bad for the British ships. Maybe they should cease firing until they get a bit closer. So that moves us on to turn 3. Apart from working out if Gerben can get rid of these two bridge hits. So a 6, no. And a 10, yes. So one of those bridge hit tokens is resolved. And now over to turn 3. Well, the eagle-eyed amongst you might have noticed in turn 2, I did actually start off with a gunnery control order on the British cruisers, which I failed to actually use, which allows you to re-roll one dice on your 2d6 to hit. But, oh well, such is life. Now, Gerben has maxed out at 6 speed. Now, Truebridge is going to get pretty desperate to close the range, so although Warrior can only do 5, we're going to have everybody else accelerate up to 6. Of course, the destroyers are already at their maximum. But it's Gerben's turn to go first. So she's at speed 6. Here's our lovely dial. So she is going to move 6 inches. And she is again going to turn 15. Because she's still keeping her specific target defense, but also the rest of the British ships in her broadside arc. We've still got our splash tokens. And then we've got 7-inch movement on the destroyers, who are going to keep up their smoke screen, but they are getting much closer now. I'm just going to check the range. Not quite within 12 inches, but Gerben might have to deal with them sooner rather than later, probably next turn. And then we have 6 inches of movement for defense, 6 inches of movement for Black Prince, 6 inches of movement for Duke of Edinburgh, but only 5 for Warrior. Now, however, Gerben is no longer in the broadside arc of any of the British ships. So this isn't brilliant. They are closing the distance gradually, but Gerben is keeping the distance open. But we are running out of board space, and those destroyers are beginning to make a head-on attack. So as I say, Gerben may have to deal with other things sooner rather than later. But it is time for Gerben to try and shoot at defence. Now, of course, we are not able to issue order cards because we've still got that one bridge hit to resolve, but let's check the distance. Distance has fallen to 27 inches, which means that we're still shooting at a large target, so 7 up. 10-inch range band is now medium, so only plus 1, so 8. But defense is now moving at full speed, plus 2, so 9, 10. So it's still a 10 to hit at these longer ranges. Does Gerbang score hits? Yes, she does. She has actually got a hit. Now we have to check our broadside. So that's eight dice. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And defense has an evasion of 6. So we roll the 8 dice first to see if there are any 6s to remove them. One of them is evaded. And now we have to compare the firepower, which is a 3 up on those 11-inch guns, against the protection, which is negative 1 for defense, because she is an armored cruiser. So that reduces firepower from 3 up to do damage to just 2 up to do damage. So 1s will automatically fail, 2s will cause damage cards, and 3 or more will cause a whole point of damage. And if we get a 6, that's 2 points of damage. So we've got 7 dice. Let's see what happens. We have a 2, so that's a damage card. Don't know what that's going to be yet. We have a 5, another 5, another 5, so 3 5s, 2 4s, and a 3. So that is 6 points of damage plus a damage card. The damage card is halved the ship's primary shot dice, because the main turret has been silenced. However, that is 6 hull points of damage, and poor old defense only has 6 hull points. So defense is in fact going to sink this turn. However, because of course this is an abstraction, we're firing first and then firing in turns, whereas everyone would be firing simultaneously in real life, and ships do take time to sink, the game has a mechanic whereby if a ship is reduced to 0 hull points and sinks, that only takes effect at the end of the turn. So defense still will get to do something this turn, but at the end of the turn, she is going to be sunk. So that's not good for Truebridge. He might survive, but there you go. So Gerben's got a very effective set of guns off. Of course, actually, she would have, even if she's rolled a 9, because I forgot to account for the aiming marker. But, it didn't make much odds in any case. She still hit. And now we need to figure out what happens from the British perspective. Now, they can only fire their forward batteries, so we might as well start off with defence. Now, as we establish, the range is 27, so she is in the third firepower band. She only has 2 dice from the forward gun turret. So she's shooting at a 7 plus target in the medium range band, so that's plus 1, so that's 8. And the target speed is now 6, so that's 9, 10. Reduced to 9 for the one target marker that she's landed from missing last time, but then put up 10, 11 to 12 from the other three from the other three ships. So she needs a double 6 to do anything before she dies, and she doesn't get it. And then as far as the other ships are concerned, technically you've got a lone 7.5-inch shot, which gets a 7. So no. And then for the others, we now have to check range bands, because we're looking at a 12-inch range band, but what have we got? That's 30, 31. So Warrior is getting a plus 2, plus the plus 2 for speed. So for Warrior, it's 7 plus 2 plus 2, so 7 plus 4, 11, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we can't actually get 13 on 2d6. So there is actually a rule for if it's over 13 in here, in the rules. So let me just check that. 13, you proceed to step 6. So basically, if Warrior wants to fire, there'll be an aiming token for her. But since that's not going to really help, I'm going to decide that Warrior doesn't fire this turn. And the others, they also need a 12. I don't think it's worth them firing this turn either, because they're only going to get 2. I think Black Prince will continue to fire, just to see what happens. No, she doesn't hit, so. Right, so Then we have the destroyers, which, as we established, are out of range, so we don't need to do anything there. And Gerben has suddenly turned the tide of battle. So at the end of this turn, we take rid of that. We roll to see if Gerben on a 7... Nope, still can't get rid of that annoying order card. But HMS Defence has, very sadly, been sunk by a single massive broadside from Gerben. Now, it's movement time for the Germans. Now, the Germans do have a little bit of an issue, because whatever happens now, we are going to have destroyers in play. Now, Gerben, of course, is moving at speed to try and get away from the British cruisers. And since she still can't take orders because they're clearing the bridge still, she's going to be moving 6 inches there. But if she turns another 15 degrees, like so, she's going to bring the destroyers into range of her secondary batteries, at least if the destroyers are themselves in range. Now, for the destroyers, of course, unsurprisingly, they're going to go on torpedo run orders. I'm going to drop the smoke screen, so we'll move that out of the way. And they're going to continue to try and get ahead of Gerben, because they don't want to be in that secondary arc. So, 1, 2... In fact, that's actually going to reduce her speed to 5, because we don't want to end up shooting ourselves, because you can't shoot through friendlies with torpedoes. And that means that actually 6, so there's going to be a very narrow margin, but in theory all three can fire. So they're on their torpedo run orders. Adjust the camera a little bit so you can still see those. And then we have Trowbridge's cruisers. Now, as you can see, they are being somewhat outpaced by Gerben. I mean, technically Edinburgh and Black Prince are keeping pace, but they are a little bit lacking because they started further behind and Gerben is basically circle strafing them. So I think at this point it's probably worth trying to bring their broadsides back into play. So they're going to move 6, and in actual fact, they're going to move they're going to move 6 because they're going to be on gunnery control orders, and this time I'm actually going to remember to utilize that. So I was thinking about maybe doing more speed, but then I realized that would probably not help matters. Now, of course, these ships are slightly harder targets because they are medium targets. They can turn 30 degrees, so they're going to make their first turn of the game, which is going to bring them broadside, on. So they're now all on gunnery control. So let's see what's going to happen. So the destroyers have moved, so they're actually still out of Gerben's secondary battery broadside, but the secondary and tertiary batteries still can fire ahead, just with reduced firepower. So we've got the larger secondaries, which have a 12-18 range band. So let's set the meter to 18, and everything's in range. What about at 12? So at 12, it can shoot at the closest destroyer. So now we need to check the rules for the secondary battery. And I need not to drop things. So, light gun batteries, here we go. So we measure the distance. We draw a line from the center ship. Yeah, we've done that. We check the range. Then, because these are secondaries, we get automatic hits, and we get all automatic hits as long as they're within the first range bracket. If it's within the second range bracket, half your secondaries hit, and if it's outside of the second range bracket, none of them hit. So that means we get one hit on the nearest destroyer. And then we get to roll the shot dice. But there's an evasion. So there's one 150mm gun on Gerben, which has managed to hit the four. So Beagle, the destroyers have a 4-up evasion. So on a 4-up, she dodges that 6-inch shot, which she does. Okay, but then we also have 3 shots from the smaller anti-torpedo boat battery, but that only has a range rec of 8 to 12, so it is within 12, but it's not within 8. So 3 halved to round up, 1.5 rounded up is 2, so Beagle has 2 4-up evasions. 1 hit is suffered, so we have a firepower of 6, because it's only a light gun, but Beagle's protection is negative 4. So it's 2. A roll of a 2 inflicts a damage card. A roll of a 3 or more inflicts hull damage. 2. So just a damage card on poor old Beagle. Or one of them. Engine damage. The ship's speed rating is reduced by 2. Immediately cut this ship's speed to 2. So now that's not bad for a single anti-torpedo boat shell. But now we have the main broadside battery, and she is obviously going to aim at Black Prince. And so she's going to aim at Black Prince, and since we cleared the bridge hit before, that means we can go on to gunnery control. So now we have to work out a new fire control solution. So let's work that out now. So we have a distance between targets of 28. So on a range bracket of 10, that's going to be in our third range band, 20 to 30 inches. So Black Prince is a medium target, so that's 8 by default. The range modifier is plus 1, so that's a 9. And Black Prince is moving at 6, so that's 10, 11. And there's no fire hit, there's no hit tokens to speak of, so that's just an unmodified 11. But with gunnery control, we get to reroll one of these dice if we fail. 4, 3. Reroll the 3-1, it doesn't make much odds. We weren't going to succeed anyway, because even if we got a 6, that would only have been a 10. But we do get a dice marker, I'm too used to playing Battlefleet Gothic. A splash marker, which tells us that Black Prince has been targeted. Now, I'm again not going to fire with Warrior just yet, because that's just going to raise more splashes. So Black Prince is going to try and fire. So she has 4 dice. And again, so it's going to be 7, because Gerben is a large target. Plus 1 for the range bracket. So 8. Plus 2, 9, 10 for the fact that Gerben is moving at speed. But then plus 1 to 11, and then minus 1 because of the splash markers. So it's still 10, and she gets snake eyes. So the splash marker remains, and the same equation goes for Duke of Edinburgh, who gets a 7. I'm going to use the gunnery control there, because obviously with snake eyes, we'd only get a maximum of 7 if we got a 6 and rerolling one of them, so it wouldn't succeed anyway. But if we get a 6 on Duke of Edinburgh's rerolled 3, which we don't, then we could have scored something. So let's get rid of those gunnery controls for the minute. And instead, we go over to here where we have our torpedo run. Now, we already know that, Bulldog, but not Bulldog, is within 12 inches. The other two are not. They're actually slightly outside of 12 inches. So only one ship, and the ship that's actually been badly hit by the anti-torpedo boat battery, gets to fire its torpedoes. So now we get to look at the rules for the torpedoes. Here we go. Right, so we have two starboard torpedoes, range band of 6, maximum range band of 12. And then we measure the range to target. So target ship has L, M, or S. So it's a large. So we're starting off with a baseline of 7. The distance in inches. Yes, we've already done that. If the line between the center of your ship and the target passes through any part of any other miniature, you cannot shoot. Yeah, we know that already. Right. Consult the battery ranges and torpedo tank modifiers and apply the ranging modifiers. So, torpedo attack modifiers. Target is at speed 6 or more, Gobin is, so that's plus 2, so we're at plus 9 at the moment. Then roll 2d6 for each of your torpedoes, so we need a 9 to score a hit. We get a 5, and we get a 3, so both of those torpedoes have missed. Gobin doesn't need to evade, so that's a pretty poor showing for that initial torpedo strike. And then we just need to see if the torpedo run would have affected that. No, the torpedo run order is actually what allows you to fire the torpedoes in the first place. So one of our destroyers has expended her starboard torpedo battery and has failed to hit anything and has had its engine smashed in exchange, which isn't a brilliant outcome, but such is life. So, on to the next turn. Now, Gobin has a little bit of a choice here, because if she continues to try and hook to bring her battery, her main anti-torpedo battery to bear against the destroyers are going to just keep going around her. So that's not a winning move. If she decelerates, the cruisers can catch up, and the destroyers probably can get close enough anyway at this point. So I think, although she is charging into the teeth of things, I think Gobin is going to have to keep going, because if she decreases her movement, it's not fundamentally going to change anything, I don't think. If she drops her speed to 4, the destroyers are still going to be in range to target her. So she's going to move forward 6 inches. She is going to turn 15, at least present a slightly more difficult target. And since she can now go on orders, she is going to go back on gunnery control. The destroyers, well, this ship can only go 2 inches and is going to do that. And she expended her starboard torpedoes, but she can turn 45 degrees. So she is going to do that. She's going to basically try and come about. The others, however, they can move 7, but they're actually going to slow down to 5, which is the maximum they can slow down because they've got an acceleration of 2. And they're obviously going to go on to torpedo run orders, and they are also going to turn 45 degrees. So since this is the damaged one, I'm going to swap them markers over just for the sake of making these calculations somewhat easier. They're on torpedo run orders, Gobin's on gunnery control orders, and over at the British cruisers, we're going to have Black Prince is going to keep going, Duke of Edinburgh is going to keep going, and Warrior is going to bring up the rear. And they're going to go on gunnery control as well. So, we're now checking ranges again. So, Gobin to Black Prince is 28. 28. Doesn't matter for them. So Gerben is going to fire at Black Prince. So we start off with 8 plus 1 plus 2 for speed. So 9, 10, 11, but minus 1 because we have our splash marker. So 10 to hit. 6 and a 1, but we can use our gunnery control. 5, right. So Gerben has scored a hit on Black Prince. And we've got our 8 dice. We saw how this worked out for defense. This could end quite badly. So Black Prince is going to obviously try and evade. Any 6s? No. And then we have our firepower of 3, modified by negative 1, so 2s to do damage cards, and 3s or more to take off hull points. Oh, that's not brilliant. That's 3 1s, and no 2s, but we have 3, 4, 5, and 2 6s, and I'm just going to check the determination of damage. Yes, and so there is a rule. If the number required to cause damage was 2 up or better, the target ship's protection is so far outclassed by your guns that they may cause even more damage. The target hull integrity is reduced by 2 instead of 1 for each 6 that we roll. So we got 3 that were between 3 and 5. And then we've got 2 6s, so that's another 4 points of damage. So 4, 5, 6, 7 points of damage. And that means that Black Prince has also now been sunk. So Gerben is not doing half bad at the moment. Now, of course, Black Prince does get to fire back because she only sinks at the end of her turn. So we have 7 up because it's a large target, plus 1 and then plus 2. So 8, 9, 10, plus 1, minus 1 for the splash markers. So she needs 10 on 2d6 to score a hit with her 4 9.2 inch guns. And that was a 5 and a 2. So can use gunnery control to try and re-roll that. 9, not quite enough. So she's going to sink without any result. And Duke of Edinburgh needs the same. So 5, we can re-roll because of gunnery control. Ah, Duke of Edinburgh does score a hit. So doesn't do much good for Black Prince. But Duke of Edinburgh gets 4 dice with a firepower of 4, which the protection of Gerben modifies to a 5. And then Gerben gets evasion on a 6. He gets evade 1. So we have 3 dice. And we need 5s to do damage. 5 to issue a damage card. 6s to actually take hull points off. We just take 1 hull point off because we've got a 1, a 3, and a 6. We don't take more than 1 hull point off because it's not 2 up or better. It's not massively overmatching. So, you know, the Duke of Edinburgh scored a hit, which is nice, but so far the British have lost 2 armoured cruisers. And I know, yes, we technically shouldn't be taking that off till the end of turn, but as far as the armoured cruisers are concerned, that is the end of their turn. But we now have the torpedoes potentially from these destroyers. They're on torpedo run orders. And they are both now in range with their starboard torpedoes. And this ship can't do much of anything, except that it is in the forward arc at about 7 inches. So bear in mind, that is a destroyer. That's only a stand-in. So might as well take a shot with... Oh, no, it's a light battery. Halved 1... Okay, so 6, but it's 5 power of 6 up, protection is 7, so we can't actually hurt Gerben with the destroyer guns, unsurprisingly. But we can execute another set of torpedo attacks. So, might as well with our... Well, do we do that with our torpedo attacks? So it's 7 up, 9. And just checking the rules for torpedoes. They're at the second range bracket. Zero, so it would be 7, 9. If I can get within 6 inches, which I will be able to do next turn, then that drops to a 7 to hit. And given that I only get 2 shots per ship, I think actually I'm not going to bother firing the torpedoes at this point in time. Now, as far as Gerbin is concerned, however, this destroyer that's much closer can get right in next turn, and although she is very much reduced in speed, she only has one hull point left. She's just taking the engine hit. So, okay, she's still got a hull point, so two hull points, but we can fire with the secondary ahead, so... 1, firepower 5, so 4 up to evade the heavier shot, does not evade, so we've got firepower 5, -4, so it's 2 to do damage, and does 6, so that destroyer is dead, and I guess at that point we can fire the other 3 at one of the other destroyers. Let's fire at the rearmost destroyer, just because we only get 2 hits, because it's not the shorter range. So we've got 2 evasions. Neither of them are evaded. And it's 6 minus 4. So it's still 2 ups to do damage. And we get 1 damage card and 1 hull hit. So we get damage card. And this other destroyer is down to 1 hull point. So the rudder assembly is damaged. I'm going to put the dice there. This destroyer is gone. And now the rudder assembly being damaged in this case isn't too bad, because it says when the ship moves, it must move to starboard and it must move its maximum amount, which is what we kind of want to do anyway. But it's not looking good for the British, so it's on to the next turn. All right, so next turn, Gerbin potentially has a lot of things that she can do. So I think she's going to stay on gunnery control. Now the question is, if she continues to move ahead, she is going to move into point-blank range of those destroyers for torpedoes. If she turns, she might be able to bring some of her secondary battery to bear, but is also an easier target for the torpedoes. Whereas if she forges ahead, her gunnery is not going to be able to engage the destroyers as effectively. But I think Souchon, realistically, if he's faced with destroyers coming around to attack him, is not going to want to turn broadside to those torpedoes. So he is going to want to just forge ahead, make himself as difficult a target as possible, regardless of the effects that's going to have on his secondary gunnery. So he's not going to turn this turn. He's going to try and minimize that. So that's the movement. The British are going to advance 6 and advance 5. And then we have the destroyers. Now, they were on 7. They did reduce their speed down to 5. I think now we're going to reduce our speed down to 3. Basically slowing down and slamming the rudder around. And 3 there. And we know we have to move like so. There we go. And you're only on one whole point there. Now, this is going to be an interesting situation. So Gerben is, I think, going to continue firing on Black Prince, because realistically swinging her main guns around at this point is unlikely to happen. So let's check our ranges. We are at 26 to Duke of Edinburgh, so medium target 8, moving at speed 6, 9, 10, and in the third range bracket, so plus 1, so 11 to hit. They're going to be on gunnery control. Yeah, obviously gunnery control. And these destroyers definitely going to be on a torpedo run now. So 4, 6 would give us a 10, so there's no point. Ah, nope, because we engaged the previous target before. So we miss, we get a splash marker, but nothing else. And Duke of Edinburgh, as we said, 12, it's 26, so 7 for being a large target, plus 1 for that range bracket, plus 2 for the speed. That's the other thing that's keeping us spicy that way. So 10, 3 and 3, and rolling a 6 is only giving us a 9, so that's not going to help. But there is just one splash marker now, because, of course, the one from defense is, or from Black Prince, I should say, is gone, because Black Prince is also gone. So gunnery control didn't really help either of us there, because the range is still quite long, which is reflective of what Souchon, as we said, probably would be trying to do. However, we do have our two destroyers, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, the range is now within 6. So they're definitely going to use their torpedo run now. So again, we have our size of the ship is a large, so that's a 7. We're now in close range, so that's a negative 2, so that's a 5. And the target speed is a 6 or more. So again, another really good reason for keeping the speed up. So that takes us back up to 9, because that's plus 2 for Gerben. So for the torpedo to be on target, and we're firing 4 torpedoes, because we have two torpedoes from each destroyer, we need 9. We get a 10 and a 7, and we get snake eyes, and we get a 7. So one of the torpedoes is on target. Gerben gets to try and evade and get on a 6, which she doesn't. So she does get hit by one torpedo. And then we roll the torpedo's yield stat in dice. For each torpedo that was not evaded, use the damage table at the back to determine what number is required to cause damage. Firepower rating of the torpedoes is always a 2 up. So we have a yield of 4. So we get 4 dice with a default 2 firepower. And it says the firepower rating is always a 2. So that doesn't get modified by armor, which makes sense. Right. And then we reduce hull integrity by 1 dice that rolls higher than the required number. And because it's 2 up, then 6 is double hull damage. So 1s don't do anything, 2s cause a damage card, 3s, 4s and 5s cause 1 hull point, and 6s cause 2 hull points. So 1-1, 2-2s, 2 new damage cards are drawn, and 1-5, so not a brilliant thing to happen to Gerben, but she has only lost 1 hull point, which means she's down to 6 hull points in total, in addition, because of one of the shell strikes from earlier. And the 2 damage cards she's taken is, appropriately enough, a flooding. So I'll bring the flooding token in. and a clear the decks, so she has to repair that first. So then we have our secondary batteries, and she can fire full broadside secondaries at the more intact destroyer, or she can go and try and finish off the one that is already damaged. So again, applying a little bit of naval realism, you keep firing at the target you've already hit. So the 150mm single shot that we get, does the destroyer evade it? It does. And the two shorter range shots, actually no, it's three now because we are very close range, we're within 8 inches. So four ups to evade, one does not evade, and now it's one, no damage, two damage card, three or more, and that destroyer is dead. Six, that destroyer is very dead. So get rid of that. Get rid of that, get rid of that. And this destroyer is also gone. So, that's all resolved. Now it's the start of the next turn. So actually, I forgot, tail end of the previous turn. Do we manage to repair the damage? Six is a no. 12 is a yes. So we managed to get repair the clear the decks. But we still have a flooding. So now it's the start of the next turn, and let's see what happens with flooding. Okay, so with flooding, you reduce the hull points by one for every flooding token you have at the start of your turn. So Gerben is down to 5 hull points. So now Gerben has a few choices. She is able to move 6 inches still, presumably coasting on momentum, which is not quite going to get her to the edge of the board, but in one more turn she will be, which is basically clearing things. So she has her flooding, so she's going to do that. The destroyer. Now the interesting thing is with the destroyer, I don't think she theoretically can, if she puts on come about orders, she can do 90 degrees, but that's still not going to bring her, that might bring her port side torpedoes to bear if she turns away, but then they'd also be out of range. So I think there's not a huge amount the destroyer can do in this turn. The destroyer has dropped her speed down to 3. She's going to accelerate back up to 5. And she is going to use the come about special order. You know, just in case something really dramatic happens. So in actual fact, I need to move her back 5 because come about allows you an extra turn at the beginning. So we're going to turn 45 degrees, like so. Just realign Gerben. Apologies. Then we're going to move 5. And then we're going to turn like so. This would actually be a really good angle of attack if she still had torpedoes, but she does not. Right. So, over on the British side of other British side of things, we have Duke of Edinburgh, who is going to move another 6. And Warrior has not really been able to do a huge amount, is there. So, what is the range for what's probably going to be the penultimate turn? We're now within 24 inches, so it doesn't make a huge change to Gerben. Obviously, she's going to go on gunnery control, and so are. So is Duke of Edinburgh. So, Gerben is firing at a medium target, so 8. She's still in the plus 1 range band, and the target's still moving at 6, so that is 9, 10, 11, but minus 1 for the splash marker, so she needs 10, and she's got gunnery control. 4 and 4, so we'll reroll 1, because if we get a 6, No. Gerben doesn't, but splash marker is maintained. And Duke of Edinburgh is going to be firing back. And seven, so that's seven. She's actually within 24, so she has no adverse gunnery modifier. Plus one, plus two, because gunner's moving at 6 inches. So that's nine, minus one. So Duke of Edinburgh now only needs an eight to hit with gunnery control. So four, so four, five, or six with a reroll. No, neither side scores any gunnery hits. And then that is just, we know the torpedo boat can't hurt Gerben with its gunnery. Gerben, however, can try and hurt with its gunnery in return. So we have a 150mm shot. Does the destroyer evade? It does. And we have two of the lighter anti-torpedo boat gun shots, and that's two if they're within 8 inches, which they are. So does the destroyer evade those? She evades both. And that is that for that turn. And then it is Gerben's turn, and on Gerben's turn, she... Ah, yes. End of the turn. Let's see if she repairs that flooding. She does. She rolls a seven. I know some of these dice rolls might be taking place out of the camera shot, but that's literally the way the dice roll. So she gets rid of the flooding token. And... so now what we're technically on is the next turn, which is Gerben merrily proceeds off the board and the game is over. So what did we learn from this? So this was the situation, our final abstraction, which is that Gerben has managed to bypass True Ridge's squadron. She's managed to sink two of the three destroyers that came to help. She managed to sink two of the four British armoured cruisers that were around. And that's not an overall great outcome for Truebridge, is it? Because his flagship's gone down. He may have survived, he may not, but two of the most modern British armoured cruisers have been sunk. The other two aren't damaged. As I say, two destroyers have been sunk. Gerben, however, has taken a fair amount of damage. She started out with 8 hull points. She finished off with 5, including flooding damage from that torpedo hit. So, how do we abstract that? That's a little less than 50% damage, most of which is above water, but we do have that below water damage as well. So, I think, based on that, you could make a reasonable argument that Gerben is going to have to reduce speed. She can't maintain full speed with a massive hull caused by a direct torpedo impact in her hull, pretty much like Bismarck, much later on. But she is still afloat, and Trowbridge's remaining squadron is going to have to break off, because at this point it's beginning to develop more and more into a tail chase. Duke of Edinburgh and Warrior clearly aren't going to win a gunnery duel on their own. Warrior's just going to drop further and further back. And while you do have the Valiant Destroyer here, that is probably going to get horribly murdered by Gerben's secondary batteries. She might be able to come about and get another torpedo shot off, but in terms of coming about to do that to Gerben, that, yeah, she's going to have to survive a lot of secondary fire before that happens. So, yeah, I'm going to say that's unlikely to occur. Now, so on the face of it, it would seem that this was a really bad idea for Trowbridge to engage. The only saving grace might be that with that reduced speed, if Milne now is going to get word that, hey, you know, Trowbridge's squadron's taken quite a beating, but we saw Gerben take a torpedo hit and she's limping away at reduced speed. If Milne then presses forward with his battle cruisers, there's a reasonably decent chance he catches Gerben before she reaches the Dardanelles. And whatever else you might like to think of the Invincible class, three of them, or even two, if only two catch up, versus a damaged Gerben with limited speed, and Gerben's probably expended a reasonable amount of ammunition in this engagement, Gerben is almost certainly not making it to the Ottoman Empire. If Gerben can't make it to the Ottoman Empire, then that's Gallipoli, the whole conflict there. Probably, not going to happen. And even if the Ottomans do still enter the fight, perhaps Breslau gets there or whatever, or they just choose to get involved anyway, then the Ottomans don't have Goeben and Breslau, which gives the Russian Black Sea Fleet considerably more freedom to manoeuvre. So the strategic implications of this battle are actually fairly high. So from an objective perspective, was Trowbridge able to stop Goeben? No. Did it cost him a lot of lives? Yes. But his sacrifice may well have bought time for Goeben to be stopped by Milne and the battle cruisers, if Milne gets his act together. So, a little bit of an interesting what-if there. Thank you very much, of course, to Broadsides Empires of Steel for sending the game and the ships that we used to represent this. Let me know in the comments below if you liked me playing this out for you as a separate video to the edited highlights in the main video. And, well, see you again in another video. Thanks for listening.